Welcome to Soma Soulworks Podcast. We hope here to equip, empower, and inspire a global community of creatives through rich, Christ-focused conversation. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, hello. Welcome to the Soma Soulworks Podcast. Today, I'm going to be here. My name is Hunter. And also...
Ethan.
Hello, Ethan.
Hey there. Ethan,
every now and then on the podcast, we like to do little interviews, either people outside that we're connected with that we think is really interesting or has a cool story or something that they have that can kind of bring forward something enlightening to us all. And then we also love to highlight people's stories inside of Soma, whether they be contractors or employees or whatever it is. Talk about their story, kind of what brought them here, what's important to them, whatever. And this week we have the pleasure of hearing from Ethan. So, yeah, Ethan, what is your Soma story?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, Hunter. My story with Soma... I think everybody that I've talked to at the office has a little bit of an odd story, because I was going to say that mine's a little bit weird, but I think everybody's in the office is pretty weird, you know, pretty non-traditional introductions to the company.
I don't know if anybody found Soma through like Monster or Indeed.
Very few people seem to have, I think maybe one or two, but
okay.
Everybody else has some sort of weird story of like, I just showed up and... Well, anyway, I'll tell mine and you'll get the vibe of what it is. So, yeah, I think I started with Soma back in 2018. And so how it happened was I was taking this... I was actually in college at the time. I'm going to the university I was going to the university here in town. During my college experience, I was taking this business class. And it was one of those like introduction to business classes where we didn't actually do a lot of anything specific. It was kind of more to just hype up students and get them interested and excited about going into the business world and like getting into their career. Okay. It kind of an interesting thing, you know. I guess you don't see that very often. Mm-hmm. And so in this class, they would have a speaker come in every week and give just a speech, like a 50-minute speech to the class, and tell them about their career, how their career has gone and how they got to where they are today, and essentially just give some sort of like inspiring story. It was like having a mini TED talk from non-professionals.
That's kind of cool though.
I mean... Yeah, it was pretty fun. Like every single week I would like come out of these classes with these like grand ideas in my head where I'm like, whoa, like I'm so inspired. Like I'm going to go jumpstart my career today. Like I'm going to apply all the lessons that they talked about.
You don't really have that much information, actually. Yeah.
Okay. So I would always come out of these classes super inspired. After one of them, I came out and they had talked about how it's important to just... What was it? They talked about how it was important to just get your foot in the door anywhere and like really try and be emphatic. Like she told some story about... This professional lady told some story about how she'd like sent a toaster... And then like kind notes to this person that she wanted to work for like a year before she finally started working there. Like she was literally like just mailing this person like, hey, I would think it'd be really, your company's really cool. Also.
Oh, it was like one friends. Toaster.
Yes. Yeah, sorry.
I was imagining a toaster a week for a year.
No, it was like she sent him a toaster. Related to the story somehow. I honestly don't remember. And then it also like sent him notes and like kept following up. So I was like, I'm going to do that same thing. Like, I'm going to do that at the place that I want to start working. I had been walking down in downtown Newburgh, mm-hmm. Oregon, where we are located. I'd been walking around downtown and I had seen previously this place called Soma Games. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. What is that? And it's kind of got like curtains over all the windows and they're all kind of blacked out. So you can't tell what's inside. Yeah. Like, this is interesting. So I like looked it up on my phone and I was like, oh my gosh, it's a game studio right in Newburgh. Like, what in the world? That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a random place for a game studio.
Yeah. I had thought it would be interesting to work in a game studio. I'll talk about it later, but I used to be really interested in becoming a game developer. And then by the time I'd been in college, I was like, oh, that would be... I don't know if that's really the path for me, but when I saw that there was a local game studio in Newburgh, I was like, oh, well, that would still be neat. Like, I would try that out. Hmm. So I had sent them an email saying that I was interested because we had a jobs page on the website that nobody ever checked. It went straight to like an inbox that nobody checks, unfortunately. not out of like malicious intent, but nobody remembered that they had that.
It wasn't on anybody's like list necessarily.
Exactly. Yeah, and the company was pretty disorganized at the time, I found out later. So after this business class where I got inspired, I was like, I'm going to go back to that Soma Games company and I'm going to walk down there. Well, I had seen this location so many times, but every single time I had walked by, it was closed. Because I'd always thought like, okay, one day I'll just like walk in there and check it out. But every time it was closed. I was like, what? When do these people actually open? They don't have any like listed hours or anything. So I have no idea when they're actually open. So after this business class, I finally said, okay, I'm going to like go and walk there like every once a week. Like I'm going to go and I'm going to check it out and try and find like the time that they're open. And as soon as I find them open, I'm just going to walk in. I'm going to ask for a job or something like that. I don't know what I was thinking. And so I walked down there, and the very first time I walked down there, they're finally open. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's a sign. Like,
I wasn't expecting it to happen this soon.
Exactly. I literally panicked. I was like, I can't do it. I can't go there. I can't go. And so I drove home. And then I drove home and literally paced in circles around my living room. Just like, okay, I got to do it. Oh my gosh. I don't look professional enough. I like switch shirts, put on like a nicer looking shirt because I was wearing some ratty t-shirt or whatever. I'm like, okay, like just hyping myself up. And like one of my roommates is home. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I got to go talk to this business. I think I'm going to go ask to see if I can like work there. And I was just like making a huge deal out of it in my head. I was freaking out. So I literally spent like a half hour just kind of like hyping myself up and then get back in my car and drive back to the location and, you know, walk up to the door and step inside. And everyone, it's an office space. We're not like a retail space where you just kind of wander inside and look for things to buy. It's just all offices. So I just walk inside Soma Games offices and everyone kind of just turns and looks at me and is like dead silent. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this. It was kind of like a movie. Like you just walk in and everyone like turns around. I'm like, this is awkward. Finally, most people just kind of turned and like went back to their computers and kept typing because it's a bunch of, you know, not very social.
It's like, an office for video game developers. Space,
like, I don't know what to do with this guy. But luckily, one of the managers that worked there, actually one of the co-owners of the company, walked up to me and was like, hey, hi, what's your name? What are you doing? And, was super friendly. That was John Bergquist. He's passed away a couple years ago now, but an amazing and a phenomenal human being and extremely good like relationally. So he just walked in and like made me feel super welcome and started chatting. And we were chatting and he's like talking about what I do and I talk about how I'm going to university. And he's like, oh, we've had some interns come from that university before. And I was like, oh, there's no chance. And so I was like, oh, really? You know, you've had interns there. Well, are you still doing internships? Like, is that something you'd still be interested in, like, offering? And he was like, well, sure. Yeah, we could probably set something up. And I was like, yes, there it is. So to speed things up a little bit, I ended up through that, got an internship with them, and they were kind of desperate for like somebody to do marketing at the time. And I won't bore you with all the details of that, but I got an internship there, and I was supposed to get college credit for it. So I was logging down how many hours I worked each week, and I was supposed to get college credit for it. But my university ended up kind of spinning me for a loop, and I didn't get any of the college credit that I was supposed to. Like, I spent months, literally months, going back and forth between all these different administration members in the university who were like, okay, you got to get approval from this person. Okay, no, sorry, I'm not the one that can give you approval. First, you need to fill out this form that you get from such and such person.
There's a lot of bureaucracy fine print kind of stuff.
Exactly, and they keep sending me to different people, and then different people wouldn't respond over email, so I tried to find their office hours, and it was a whole thing. And by the time I got to the end, then they're like, well, you've already been working here for two or three months, and we can't give you credit. Like, you have to come to me at the very beginning. Like, you need to do all this at the very beginning before you start the internship. It's like, I tried on day one to get this conversation started, but I kept getting sent to different people. And they're like, well, sorry. So I've been working for Soma for a number of months at that point. And eventually I emailed Chris, who, you know, the CEO of our company. And he was amazing, actually, and was like, well, you know what? You've done actually super great work for us, so I'm just going to pay you for, like, tell me how many hours that you've worked for us, and we'll just pay you all for it. And that was a really, really cool thing for him to do, because he totally didn't have to do that. I got this, like, big fat check in the mail for, like, the last 3 months
of work. Yeah, it's like 3 months of work. Yeah.
It's not, like, full-time, because I was just doing, like, little part-time. Yeah. Contract but still stuff on the
when you're
side,
in college but, I mean
yeah I know when I was in college I was like holy moly I was not
I'm
ready
rich
for this.
I'm dropping I'm out
rich. Yeah so that was really awesome. I had after I ended up graduating eventually from university, I transitioned into full-time work at Soma, because when Chris said, okay, we'll pay you for all the work that you've done, he said, or he offered, okay, well, we can just keep paying you to do more work. We'll do this part-time thing that you're already doing, and you can keep logging however many hours in the week whenever you get time during college. So I kept doing that and was billing them consistently and showing up here and there for stuff in office, but mostly it was me doing a lot of work on my own outside of the office and just kind of sending it in. Mm-hmm. At the end of that, when I graduated, I was like, well, I guess I'm still working here. I'm still doing part-time work, and nobody has given me a maximum amount of hours that I'm supposed to work for them. So I'll just start working more. And so that's what I did. I just kept working more and more hours, and I just started showing up in office more and more often because, well, now I don't have a university to go back to.
Yeah.
So I just started showing up more and more often, and very, like, just, I guess, organically, naturally. Eventually one day Chris was like, you know, like, we should give you, like, an actual, like, real contract, like, a better contract than what your little part-time thing. He's like, how many hours are you even working? I was like, you never really gave me an amount of hours to work, so I'm kind of doing, like, 40 hours a week now. Yeah.
It's like, I'm full-time, by the way.
Yeah, and he's like, wow, okay, so if you want to, yes, it was. And he was like, well, okay, if that's the case, then let's talk. And eventually they offered me, like, a full-time position. And that's how I transitioned into, like, really being, I don't know, having that be like more of a career job instead of just a side gig that I was doing during university. So when I first joined Soma, they kind of had me do whatever. And I think this happens for every intern or like lowest person on the totem pole at Soma is like, Chris calls it unceremoniously the junk drawer job, where it's just like all the random things that need to be done. Like, hey, I need you to research this potential project that we're working on. Like, tell us about, you know, we need to do such and such research for it, or we need to like print off all these things, or we need to format the spreadsheet in a specific way. I don't know, just all those like super random stuff that can kind of be done by anybody, and they don't want to take the like time away from people who have more critical functions and specialized functions like the artists or the sound guy or whatever. So I was doing that for a while, but I also, on my first day of getting work there, they literally handed me this giant printed out stack of papers, and I was like, what are these? And they were printed out emails, and these emails were emails that people, feedback that people had given us for our Redwall game that had just released. That was when the Scout Act 1 had just released. Because the day I walked in there, coincidentally, that day I told you about was the day that Soma had just released Act 1. Like, it was the exact same day.
Oh.
Yeah, which was really strange.
Yeah, that's
John Bergquist at the time was like, this feels very, like, this feels, something about this smacks of, I don't know, some sort of, like, divine intervention.
Yeah,
thing.
Some timing. Yeah.
Exactly. It felt like God timing. Like, the day that we just, like, launched this thing and we're waiting to see waiting for the reviews to come in is, like, you just walk in.
Kid walks in and asks for an internship.
Yeah, essentially. So, anyway, they had printed out all this, like, feedback that they'd gotten in the game kind of early on. And we're like, honestly, we have all this feedback, but we don't know what to do with it. Like, and we don't have nobody that's in charge of it. So do you want to just, like, I guess, read through all these emails and tell us what the important stuff
printed
in it is?
Emails.
Exactly. So I literally had this massive stack of printed emails. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm just going to synthesize this into something useful. Mm-hmm. And that was the kind of work that I did at the beginning. That was the start of, like, what eventually became a full position of, like, QA coordinator is what we kind of call it. Also QA manager. QA stands for quality assurance. Essentially, I ran like the testing. I was in charge of the testing and quality assurance for our products. And that was a position that sort of developed naturally over time as I worked there, because I kept doing more and more QA type work, like getting feedback and providing feedback, playing the game myself and providing my own notes on it. Because at the beginning, they had nobody that was in charge of actually testing the game or doing QA. It was just people in office that would play the game that they'd also been working on. Oh, so there were these big gaps of like, people would get stuck on the tutorial level because you wouldn't know what to do. Like, there would be controls that were never taught.
Yeah.
And nobody would know to press like, press like the H key on the keyboard or whatever.
Because they never taught someone who didn't build the game how to play the game.
Exactly. It's like, you need to use your slingshot there. But to use the slingshot, you need to hold the X key. Mm-hmm. Nobody tells you that's an option. So you're just like standing, like, you know, spending all your time wandering around, not knowing what to do. And so I was like, guys, there's pretty big holes. I'm like, wow, we never thought about that. Because everybody in the office was just so used to the game. So I ended up doing QA coordinator position for a long time, and then eventually transitioned into kind of web development. It's called webmaster professionally, where I continue to run all of the websites that Soma has. And then in this last year, actually, I got started transitioning into the project manager position. So that means I now help schedule out all of the things that are happening in the office. So we get a new project and they say, okay, here's the goal. Here's what we want to have done by this date. I say, okay, I will now work backwards from that, from today until that time, and see where I will schedule people in. So it'll be like, okay, we'll have artists from this day to this day, and then we'll have the sound guy work on it from this day, and the programming team will be working on these specific tasks on these days. I'm the one that writes out all those tasks, makes the schedule, and then sees to make sure that it is happening and all the way to completion. So that's a lot of my position now, is I do more and more project management work, and I still run the QA program and the webmaster type work, but I've been slowly ramping those down and spinning them off to other people.
Yeah, it's a little bit more sustainable now too that you've started it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Especially like QA just practically didn't exist before, so
exactly. Yeah,
now that you've built a system for it, it doesn't take as much time.
Yeah, and that's a story for another time. But yeah, I ended up building a whole like testing system, so now we've got consistent testers that all work remotely from their own, like not work, but they play our games early on their own time, and they can get like rewards for doing that and seeing early access to all our builds. So it's been a lot of fun. The company provides a lot of opportunity for flexibility and trying new skills, and they're super open to it. Having people try out new things if they are interested. So if you go up and say, hey, I think I might make a good artist, like I'm not an artist right now, but I think I really like digital art, they'll say, okay, well, we'll give you a shot. Like if you're already working there in a different position, they'll say, try it out. Like here's a small project that you can flex those skills in, and we'll see how you do. And they are super, super into letting people transition between different roles and training people up in those if they express a lot of interest. So it's also been amazing to work at like a company that is full of Christians. It just gives a totally different baseline in the way that you talk. You know, you have this shared base belief that even though you're not like explicitly talking about Jesus all the time, every day, even though you're not doing that, you still know that everyone shares values with you. And it
almost
makes
not to explain yourself when you say something.
And there's a lot of trust there, like that you wouldn't necessarily have. Like the trust can build faster because you know that you know what their values are, and you know roughly what their values are and where their morals are at and all of that. So you're not worried about like maybe this person's just doing this to get ahead, or like maybe they're lying to me, or I don't know, a lot of these things that you you might have to build the trust with coworkers at another location. It's really awesome. I love it. Just makes a huge difference in all the communication that we do. Like arguments, when they do happen, have just kind of a different flavor to them. It doesn't feel like it's ending, because at the end of the day, you know, you're still like brothers and sisters in Christ, and you and everybody knows that reconciliation is important, and you know, don't let the sun set on your anger kind of thing. So everyone's actually trying to work it out versus petty feud, like office feuds that might happen at another workspace.
Division just, indefinitely.
Yeah, exactly. It might just be like, well, now me and Shelly have like this ongoing unspoken thing that we both know that we're upset at from like December of 2 years ago. So that's kind of my story. It's different because I didn't intend to get into gaming. I know it's like every kid's dream job, but mine was, even in like middle school for me, in high school, I really, really wanted to get into gaming, and I thought that was the coolest thing. And maybe not. Maybe that's not the case these days, but for my generation growing up, everybody wanted to be a game developer. Like, every like, teenage yeah. boy, at least, wanted to be, like, a game developer.
Yeah. My like, I have a nephew who was in the sixth grade now, and... I mean, anything about video games in general. A lot more now, it's like Twitch streamer or something like that, too, though.
Yeah, that was before.
But when I first told him, I guess it would have been like almost a year ago, that I'm like, oh, I do work at a video game company, even though I don't do any video game development stuff at all.
You personally.
Yeah, he just thought it was like the coolest thing. And he has this picture of like what it looks like to work in a video game studio. Mm-hmm. And it's this giant building and everything's glass. And people are writing dry erase on all of the glass walls everywhere. Like, you know, all of the Hollywood ideas of like what big tech company gamer things are, primary colors and... everybody's got the coolest computer and all of this stuff.
Running around on hoverboards.
Yeah, exactly. Wheel ones, it was like three-person bikes where no one's going forward. And like, why does this exist? Like, I don't, this is none of this makes any sense at all. But like, obviously, it's really different than that. And so, did you have like expectations? Like, looking back to when before, you know, when you were in your college classes and stuff like that, and like, I'm gonna work there, like, did you have expectations? Obviously you did, because you're like, I need to change my shirt to go meet these people there. You know, as we know now, it's almost comical to think the prep work you did to go into Soma Games office, but it's like, what kind of expectations did you have now that you're like, those were the biggest disparities versus reality?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think as a kid, I definitely had this idea that you like, that you talked about what a game developers were, and everyone's like, all these like cool, especially like when I grew up, it was parents didn't like it, a lot of parents hadn't grown up with video games, or at least I grew up in a more rural area where pretty much no adults had any. It was all the very stereotypical parents of like, oh, I don't know what that computer thing does, or that what is that, the Xbox, like, I'm not really sure, but my son wants an Xbox for Christmas, so I'll just get him that. And he says this Call of Duty thing. So anyway, then I go into the Walmart and ask the cashier, like, where do I find this Call of Duty? And anyway, very much that vibe growing up. So in my head, I was like, oh, everyone's going to be like a gamer when I, if I work at a game studio, and they'll all be super cool because they can talk about video games with me when nobody else can.
Yeah.
And that's true, but you would be surprised how... I just like, I don't know, that game developers are also just like the most, they're just very like regular real people too. So a lot of the conversations in office, while some of them do focus around the industry, a lot of them are just like the same types of conversations that you would have with anyone. It's not just, it's not just conversations about video games every single day, all day long. You're also just talking about life and taxes and other boring adult things.
That's all we do, life and taxes at this own games office. Yeah, that's a, that was kind of something that stood out to me too, because when I was going in, I remember the first couple months I was there, everybody was like, does this guy even play video games? He's coming in here wearing his freaking tweed suit jackets and like slacks and khakis, like, what is this? And then I think we played Minecraft the first time and everyone was like, oh, okay, he actually does play video games.
Okay, so it's like destroyed everyone out of PvP Minecraft.
Yeah, because I was youth pastoring before that. I was like, Minecraft is my specialty. Like, that's all I'm good at.
This is the bread and butter right here.
But so it was almost the opposite experience where I was like, yeah, then you. But it was like, yeah, we definitely do talk about that and have that kind of stuff in common. But it was different than I was expecting for sure. Like, yeah, because I was expecting I wouldn't fit in, because I'm like, I don't know anything like about this. I don't look gamer. Like or act like or anything like that. But yeah. Another thing that stood out to me in your story, especially your conversation about like the baseline of like Christianity that kind of flows in our office, and how like, because we're a Christian game studio, and what that means to us, like we tend to attract Christians that work here, obviously. And how that's been really kind of vital and instrumental in like kind of your development these past few years. For people that don't work in Christian studios or offices or just workplaces in general, like, do you have any advice for those people working in those kinds of places and how they can find that kind of support that you've gotten at Soma, like more specifically?
I'll tell a story that Chris always tells. So this is not my own story, but Chris often likes to tell about this time that within 1 year, like within a few months of each other. No, it was within the same month. That's right. That we got this email from someone who was like, hey, I work in a really, really big game company. I don't think I'm allowed to say the name on this podcast, but anyway.
Yeah, maybe not.
I work from this big game studio, AAA studio, and I'm the only Christian here. And like everyone's like pretty aggressive towards Christians. Like I can kind of feel hostility. So I don't ever want to out myself as a Christian, but like I'm the only Christian that works this entire place. Like I just, I love that you guys are making video games and that there's a whole bunch of Christians working with you guys. And I just think that's so cool. It's so encouraging to see. And I just wish that was here. And then he gets then less than a month later, Chris gets another email from this, like a different person who works at the same company saying the same thing. Like, I'm the only Christian that works here. There are no others. Like,
it's almost as if it's a prank. It just has two emails.
Yeah, like, it was two people who were like legitimately thought alone. They were the only ones working in their company that were Christians. So I would say that you'd be surprised probably, first of all, and maybe if you have a small enough company, you're pretty certain that it's not the case, but you'd be surprised, first of all, how many people might be Christians in your company. Like there might be others
who are in the same boat of like,
yeah, feeling
I don't
like
want to be
alone.
The person to step out.
Exactly,
but.
And say it. But if you know what to look for, I mean, I would say take that step. Because I've also found that people are a lot less aggressive and awkward about talking about religion than you might expect. I was often in circles that were not at work. I was often afraid to like mention Christianity or my faith in general. I would be like, oh gosh, they're going to think I'm like trying to preach to them and they're going to get all offended or they're going to get all weird about it and they won't want to talk to me anymore. I've learned over the years that people are like, especially people who are not of the faith, really a lot more chill about just like talking about faith and religion in general. It's very easy to just like talk about your own personal experiences without it being preachy. Cause especially in a world, especially in like the US context, in a world today where everybody is find their own, do what's good for you. Whatever you do is okay. As long as it's your thing and it's not hurting other people. In a world where it's like, find your own truth is very common and popular. People don't get offended and feel like you're preaching. If you speak your own truth or speak what's good for you, they don't necessarily think you're prescribing it to them or forcing them into it.
It's just sharing your story.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good way. Yeah.
Also there's online like Discord channels and message boards. And I mean, there are so many places online these days that it's really easy to find that connection, community and connection if you really are alone. We host a intimate server with other game developers who are Christians just to talk about this stuff. And we have some people on there who are like, oh my gosh, I love this Discord server that we have together because it's like my main point of connection with other like Christian game developers and I just don't have that anywhere else. So you can find a lot of connections there for pretty much any specific subgroup, especially people that are based around a similar faith.
Yeah. I think those are great. So yeah, like making yourself known, getting out there, I think that's very good.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times it is that like, oh my gosh, if I go out and I'm the one that says it, then I'm going to be chastised and like burned alive at my office because I'm a Christian or whatever. But even when I was pastoring, I was always super open about like, if I'm on an airplane and someone asks what I do for a living, I didn't lie and say like, I work at a nonprofit or whatever or something like that. Yeah, I was just told up straight. I was like, I'm a pastor. Like, and I can think of like two times where someone didn't even get angry, but it was just like, you could see that they had some experiences with the church that they were hurt in.
Baggage, yeah.
And if anything, that just provided me the opportunity. And in every situation, it always provided me the opportunity to just be like open and share Christ with those people in a way that wasn't like you were talking about in that weird prescription. Like, you don't need to make it weird, really. That's like it. Like, you can talk about just yourself and your own experience.
Yep.
And if Christ is part of that, then, well, that's great. Like, you just get to share the gospel through your own story. That's the point of testimony.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's definitely been my experience as well.
And yeah, that other one in our description, actually, this podcast episode, you can, I would love for you, one, in the comments, if this resonates with you in conversation, but in the podcast description, you could find places to get connected and get involved with people that are in places like, you know, I work in this industry and I need to hear about this stuff, or, you know, I want to talk to other people that have similar experiences to me. Like, we'd love to be able to connect with you personally, but also be able to connect with you or connect you to other people that are in similar boats and whatnot to find community digitally if you need it. So mm-hmm. I don't know if you have anything else you want to share. Or...
No, I don't think so. But yeah, I think I would just be repeating myself at this point. If I
well, I think more, it was so. Great. So thanks for sharing your story.
Absolutely. Sorry, it went a bit long.
No, I mean, long conversations are great. So I hope you have a great day and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for joining us for today's conversation. You can find us online at somasoulworks.org and continue these conversations with our small group curriculum. We hope to see you next time and have a great day.